Good morning. Praise the Lord. My message is over because it's been given. So I just love it the way the Lord does things. I have sort of a little bit of a strange message, but I'm thinking, I lose names, so I'm working on a name right now. Oh, Bruce's prophecy was right in there. Some of the sharings was part of what I was bringing today. So, Lord, I just ask that as I share, the truth of your word would come forth. And anything that's not that way, just let it go by the wayside. So I just ask that I'd be able to share well. Not trained. I'll try it with the way it is, and if it doesn't work, I will have Brad come up and help me here. So I was considering for quite a while about bringing a message on fear. And the joke would be I was afraid to bring it. However, recently the Lord's been making me more aware of many things that fall under the topic of stewardship. So I'm going to bring a message on stewardship today. And I mean, many of you, most of you probably are aware of stewardship. I lost my train of thought already. Oh, well. But before I actually get into stewardship, I'm going to share on fear. And I just have seven observations about fear. And I think, because fear was a little bit part of what was shared also, which is why I was smiling when I got up here. You know, our world operates on fear. If you listen to the news, even the weather, when they give the weather, you know, everybody flocks to the grocery store, and it's like locusts have descended on a field. There's nothing left in the grocery store, and that's fear. And you know, so in a general sense, we're surrounded by fear. So that was one thought that I wanted to share. Now, a lot of people don't call it fear. They use terms as apprehensive, anxious, or unsettled, and many other terms, but it's still fear. But then we come back to the Word of God, which we were encouraged to do just a couple minutes ago. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, truth, and a sound mind. So that's the truth. But he's also given us instructions. And in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, he says, be anxious for nothing. And then he says what to do. But in everything, by means of prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now that's a powerful verse. That's a powerful verse. And you know, for quite a few years now, the one thing that I thank the Lord for is Linda and I, no matter what we've been having to face, the Lord's given us peace. So I encourage those of you that are unsettled, anxious, annoyed, whatever, memorize that verse and use that verse. Because you can use that verse in the face of the enemy. And you may have to use it more than once. You may have to just go back to that verse over and over. You know, and then but the more important side of fear is the side of fear where we have a reverent fear of God. And a couple weeks ago when Don was with us, he actually stole a little tidbit of my message about that. He talked about the reverent fear of God. And so that was number five. Number six, I encourage everybody to read Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is a powerful psalm, and it has quite a few phrases which talks about what God rewards those who fear him. And I'm not going to read that psalm right now because I didn't want to make my message too long. But the other interesting thing about fear, there's a lot of verses about godly fear in the Bible. And interestingly, when the fountain of life was formed, it was based on Proverbs 14:27, which is, the fear of God is a fountain of life. So I would have you just think about that. So now I will start my little message on stewardship. So what is stewardship? The basic definition of stewardship is someone who manages affairs or property of someone else. And we see stewards, you know, in the world, all different places. When I was in the Navy, we had stewards that ministered to, like, the officers on the ships and stuff like that. But I found a more interesting definition of stewardship from a biblical point of view. And that definition says, utilizing and managing all the resources that God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of his creation. So that's, we could think about that. But even more interesting, is if we think about it as managing everything that we have physically and the gifts and talents God has placed in us and all that God has given us spiritually. So how good do we manage our little self-contained, you know, hunk of clay that God's made us? To me, that's an awesome thought. And, you know, how often do we think about that? I don't think about it as often as I should. And that's why I thought I'd bring the message. Over the past couple years, Linda and I have faced a lot of difficulties. Linda has had a couple very severe illnesses. And I don't want to list them all. But the Lord showed me during these difficulties with Linda, he's made me aware of a lot of things. One of the things he made me aware of is that Linda is a treasure. And he entrusted me to care for her. Sorry. So during the last couple of years, the Lord showed me that I need to be more aware of Linda. And the reason he showed me that is because I tend to be the type of guy that I wake up in the morning, I've got a list, and I know what I'm going to do from 5 o'clock in the morning right through the day. Now, sadly, in the last number of years, I run out of steam. So sometimes my list only gets one or two things accomplished. But the point is, I'm focused on the list, and Linda will appreciate this. I am noted for being oblivious. And when I'm working on my list, I can be oblivious of everything else. And I can also be very blunt. And I know my wife has suffered from some of my bluntness, and I've had to ask forgiveness from other people for my bluntness. So the Lord is making me more aware, more observant, and more sensitive to Linda and to others. And I've been doing better, but I'm still in a real big room, the room for improvement. So in a general sense, I'm trying to not focus on my list and pay more attention to, how is Linda looking today? And before I go out, I try to make sure that I check with her as far as her needs before I go off to play or whatever I'm doing. And I'm improving, but I have, again, room for improvement. But I just wanted to have that as a little preface. The Bible has some good lists, and I'd like to share a couple of those lists with you. And I decided that I wasn't going to read the whole scripture. Many of you, most of you hopefully, are aware of these lists. The one list that has recently John has shared in home meeting because of things we were talking about is from 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11. And it starts out with all diligence. That means we need to pay attention to what we're doing with all diligence. And it starts with faith. We're to put on faith. So how many times do you, feel like you're in a quandary and where's your faith? What happened? But that's the beginning, faith. And then moral excellence. And moral excellence, we could have a sermon on moral excellence, right? There's all sorts of aspects of that to think about. And then there's knowledge. And this, to me, this list is like a platform. We're building a structure. So faith's the foundation. And then you add moral excellence. You add knowledge, which is the next one. And then with your knowledge, it says, learn self-control. You can have all the knowledge in the world and not use it well. And then perseverance. Who knows what's going to happen? We just heard about, some of the things that are concerns and Joan shared, look at this mess I walked into. We have to persevere through that. And Joan shared and we prayed. And the Lord's going to do something with that prayer. That's a great prayer. And this all leads to godliness. So we're preparing so that when we get to heaven, we're not a doorkeeper. We're in one of the mansions. And then the other list that's very interesting is in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. And again, whole messages have been brought about the fruit of the Spirit. And some people like to think there's nine fruit. Some people like to think there's one fruit with nine parts. The way my brain thinks about it, if we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, we've got all these parts of the fruit or all these fruit. And we have to be aware that we have them. And we have to be learning how to use them more. And those start with love. And again, one of the words this morning talked about that a little bit. And joy. I don't know who read the scripture, but someone read the scripture. And joy is part of who we're supposed to be too. The Word of God says the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. So if we don't have peace and joy, we need to check and find out what's interrupting our peace and joy. And in the fruit of the Spirit list, peace is number three. And then patience. Patience is a big one. I'm impatient. One of the big struggles I had when I started walking more closely with the Lord was patience. And so, foolishly, I prayed to the Lord for patience. And the Lord blessed me with finding every slow driver in Ulster County and putting them in front of me. And Linda got mad at me one day, and she said, "Will you learn patience?" And then there's kindness. I sometimes just, like I said, I'm blunt and I just go straight ahead. And I can be kind, but it's not one of the things that I do well. I have to actually think about kindness sometimes. However, if you look at how I was in 1980 and 1990, I've improved. And goodness. What does it mean to be good? What is goodness? I have to ponder that a lot. And I think for each of us, you know, we each have to figure this out for who God made us and who we are. Because we have to be stewards of the package that God made each one of us. And we're all different. So I have to be more aware of stewarding some things than perhaps John. But he put us all together too, or Tim. He put us all together in a family. And then gentleness. This is another one that I need to learn better. Gentle. And self-control. I'm not going to go into any detail in those, but again, when I stand in front of that list, I'm in that same big room, I need improvement in all of them. And there's another list that's very interesting to me. And it only has three bullets. And when Moses asked God to see God, God said, "You cannot see me, or you would perish." And he hit him in the rock. But after he did that, God told Moses who he was. So in Exodus 34, he said, "I am the Lord God." Just in case Moses didn't get it, he made sure he understood that. Compassionate and gracious. Slow to anger. Abounding in love and kindness and truth. So that's also our list, because Jesus wants us to be like him and like the Father. So, you know, how are we doing on that list? Are we becoming more like Jesus? So this is kind of a little bit of a rambling, but the last thing I want to share is I was reading a devotional recently called Morning and Evening. Some of you may be aware of it. The author was Charles Spurgeon, and it's from 1865. So you may think, 1865? What? This is 100 and however many years later. But the daily devotional was based on one verse of Scripture. And I'm actually going to open my Bible, so I don't want to mess this one up. And it's an interesting verse because Bruce actually shared a piece of that verse in his prophetic word this morning. And the verse that Charles Spurgeon focused on was Hebrews 13, verse 5. And excuse me. Thank you, Dan. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, He himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you. And I heard that in the prophetic word this morning. Let me read it again. He himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And, you know, Spurgeon's devotional focused on, I will never leave you. However, the Lord had me focus on, He himself has said. Four words. And before I continue with that thought, I'd just like to read the first four verses of Hebrews 13, because I think they're important to go along with verse 5. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so, you know, how often do we get, if you think about it, a lot of the references are worldly references. How often do we get caught up in thinking about those things? Or worried about them even? And, you know, we don't have to. So like I said, the Lord had me focus on, He himself has said. What did he say? It's here. And it seems awesome and overpowering sometimes. But the Word of God, as good stewards, we should be taking care of the Word of God. We should be reading the Word of God. We should be learning from the Word of God. And we should be able to share the Word of God with others. Now, some people say, well, I'm not a good reader. Okay? I can't memorize. Okay? What does that mean? It just means that what you're able to do will be different than somebody who has a easy time of reading or an easy time of memorizing. But you know, if you can't memorize, if you know the Lord's Prayer, you've memorized five verses of Scripture. If you know the Psalm 23, you've memorized Scripture. If you just remember, the Lord will never leave you or forsake you, you've memorized Scripture. So there's a lot of phrases that we've heard over the years, and we've memorized Scripture. Now, some of us are blessed with the ability to remember a lot of Scripture. I am more than blessed in my home fellowship. I have men and women that know a lot more about the Bible than I do. And when we have discussions, that all comes out. Each one can share a verse or a psalm. And then, if we go back to the beginning of my message, the antidote for fear, the Word of God, the lists, the Word of God, godly character found in the Word of God. So, essentially, all of life's challenges, the answers, are in the Word of God. And so, I don't have an amazing... Well, I did have one sort of humorous story that I thought about. I was trying to think of a humorous story. You know how sometimes when you want to think of a humorous story, it's almost impossible? But in thinking about being a good steward, a story that my dad told me came back to mind. Now, he was growing up. We grew up on Long Island, but the town we grew up in Long Island, when he grew up, it was all farmland. And the nearest store was like 2 miles away. So if you wanted to go to the store, you didn't hop in your car. You actually put your shoes on, and you walked to the store. And I don't think I've ever shared about my dad before, but his gift was he understood automotive mechanics. And he was excellent with any kind of tool, and he took very good care of his tools. But when he was a boy, and his dad was trying to teach him how to use tools, he remembered one incident, and he was using a hammer. Back then, a regular claw hammer had a wooden handle. That's all they had. And so my dad would grab the hammer right by the head, and my grandfather was probably yelling at him, "Hold the hammer correctly." And Dad would put it down there, and then a minute later he was back right at the head of the hammer. So my grandfather grabbed the hammer, cut the handle off, gave it back to him, and when they finished the job, Dad had to walk 2 miles and with his own nickel had to buy a new handle. And you know, he learned how to use tools, and he took really good care of them. So that was a lesson in stewardship. And again, I'm blessed in our home meeting because the Word of God is known well, and we can apply it to whatever situation the Lord may bring up on any given night. And I'm blessed by that. And all of you know the Word of God well. And I'm blessed by that. But we can all be better stewards. We can all do a better job of thinking about the things that I've shared. And the other aspect of being a good steward to me is being an encourager. And that's something that I need to work at, and I encourage all of you to work at it. Some of you are really good at encouraging, and I appreciate that. So, how do I close my message? I'm blessed to know you all, and I'm blessed to be in a group of people that are following God's word and are good stewards. Thank you.